Good afternoon. This is the House Joint Committee on Education, and we are dealing with a couple of things today. I welcome people that are here in the room and seeing us out there. We're used to meeting bright and early in the mornings, and so this is a real adjustment time for all of us. We only have two items today, and we will see how they go. And it is February 6th, and I am going to open a work session for the Board of Pharmacy and to accept their report. And any comments that matter, anything?
Certainly, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee.
Thank you.
During the budgeting session, during the budget hearings for the last session, the Board of Pharmacy was in and presented some information to you, and you requested that a budget note be included along with their budget, asking them to do an operational review. And then after that operational review was done, to have a report done by of the operational review, have that submitted to the subcommittee and the full committee. And the agency has completed that review. They contracted out for it. They had the review done. It just got completed at the end of January, and so they submitted that to us now, and they're here to ask for you to acknowledge the receipt of that report and to forward that to the full committee with your recommendation on the receipt of that report.
Okay, and so LFO has the complete report, all the details and nitty-gritty.
Madam Chair, that is true. We received a report, and I've also posted that to the subcommittee documents on your SharePoint site, and I believe it was posted to the website for the committee today as well.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Questions?
You ready for a motion?
I think so, Senator.
Madam Chair, I would recommend that the Education Subcommittee of Ways and Means accept the report from the Board of Pharmacy.
Thank you, Co-Chair Monroe. The motion is to accept the report from the Board of Pharmacy.
And to forward that to the full committee with a
with
recommendation.
Did you have a recommendation,
well,
Senator?
The recommendation is that we've
accepted it.
Are accepting the report. That is the recommendation.
Thank you.
Yes.
And that'll go to the full Ways and Means probably, what, next Friday?
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved.
Carrier.
Did you say you're the carrier?
I said somebody needs to be assigned to carry it for the full Ways and Means, Madam Chair.
Representative Gerard has said he would do that. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
That's going to be a rigorous lift.
He's up for the challenge.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, ma'am.
Close the work session?
Oh, yes. Closing the work session for the report from the Pharmacy Board. I'm going to open an informational meeting on an update for the Oregon Education Investment Board and Early Learning Council. And I see we have Duke Shepherd in the room. Yeah.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Nesbitt will not be joining us until 2. He had a meeting with the governor.
Until 2?
So we thought that Duke would delight you and entertain you on early learning.
For an hour?
Well, or we'll take a brief recess until
Mr. Nesbitt. We don't know.
Perhaps we could have the Board of Pharmacy back and we could more rigorously review it.
Madam Chair, if may I recommend that Mr. Shepherd think twice about taking us to 2:00 on his presentation.
I would second that.
Yeah, thanks.
I think he has heard the suggestion, and I doubt he had a 15-minute presentation planned anyway.
Madam Co-Chair, Co-Chair Monroe, Senators and Representatives, you are right. I do not have an hour-long presentation for you.
You'd state your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Duke Shepherd, Policy Advisor to Governor Kitzhaber, and I've been on point for his early learning work for about the past year. So last session, the legislature passed and the governor signed Senate Bill 909 creating the Early Learning Council and the Oregon Education Investment Board. The Early Learning Council was directed to produce a report recommending steps for streamlining, merging, and consolidating governance programs and funding streams for your consideration in 2012. And they produced a report, and legislation related to that report is House Bill 4165. So if it pleases the co-chairs, I thought I would talk about what would be in that bill.
That would be perfect.
Appropriate? Great. So starting out, some of the materials that I'm handing out that are instructive are a series of state statutes, 417.7, I believe, that list a variety of important and aspirational goals around early childhood, the things that we talked about last session and during the last year for screening, for kindergarten readiness, and program coordination. The disappointing thing is those have been in statute for 11 years, and we've made very little progress in the governor's estimation because it hasn't been clear that there was accountability, that the budgets were connected to those efforts, and that anyone is in charge. So the legislation that will be coming up this week, 4165, does a couple of things, largely teeing up further decisions for the legislature in 2013, but the immediate changes would be the following. First, it would eliminate the State Commission on Children and Families and eliminate the Commission on Child Care and name the Early Learning Council by providing some additional members as the state's required body under the Head Start Act, which would replace the Early Childhood Matters Advisory Council, which was created by Governor Kulongoski. It's interesting that I am before the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education talking about early childhood education, and none of the budgets of the three bodies I just named come before this committee, which again points to sort of a fractured system. If we're getting kids ready for school and we have budgets and programs in a variety of different places, they have not historically aligned. Connected to that expiration of the State Commission, it will create a youth development council, similar in concept to the Early Learning Council, for school-aged and older youth programs. It will eventually replace two subcommittees that currently sit under the State Commission. So, big picture, we're streamlining, consolidating, and removing these multiple boards that have a variety of purposes but don't necessarily point in the same direction. Importantly, for your consideration, there are no changes proposed to any budgets, program budgets, or operational budgets at this time. The State Commission staff positions will sort of be in a holding pattern, probably over in DAS, until we figure out how to deploy them where. There's certainly not a need for more FTE or staff, and part of the challenge will be to figure out what's really needed to move this agenda at the state level and what isn't. The second more certain change that's proposed in the legislation is the expiration of the local commissions on children and families. So the legislation currently reads that they would be abolished at the end of this fiscal year, 2012. The amendments that we're working on would bump that out to 2013, so, and this has been at the request of counties and others, so that there's an orderly transition to a new system that is more focused on the outcomes that we want and the accountability for funds that will deliver better results. What's envisioned to replace the local commission system is an RFP process where communities will apply and come together and determine who's going to be on point for getting results and how they're all going to do it together with the state and local resources that they have available. The bill lists a series of criteria that should be expected for these community-based coordinators for services, but beyond some of those expectations and what will be, again, amended into the bill and a statewide process for further defining those criteria, the state is not drawing lines on a map and saying you're a region or it's going to be county-based or it's school district-based. The idea is that communities have the best sense of who can deliver and who should be on point, and already, without legislation enabling these, communities are already starting to think about this. I was out in Deschutes County last week and met with commissioners from three different counties and program leaders from a variety of programs, and they've already started to figure out that there will probably be a three-county approach to this, and that they're ready to really run with this if the legislature opens the door for them. Other communities might be further behind or ahead, and I think in some places the county will probably remain on point as they have, and in other places it will look different because that's what works best in different communities. Those are the big changes that are proposed in the near term, and near term meaning the next year. It also directs, if you'll recall from my presentation to you about our Race to the Top application, it directs the Child Care Division to implement the tiered quality rating and improvement system that was a key component of that application, which is a rating system to promote quality in licensed child care settings and to give parents more information to make choices about the settings that are right for their children. Everything else in the bill sets up for 2013 conversations around the budget. It directs the Early Learning Council to report back to the legislature with a new budgeting approach for early childhood programs. It directs a joint planning process with the State Interagency Coordinating Council for Early Intervention and Early Childhood Special Education to explore the links and the coordination of those kinds of services with the broader array of early learning services. And I'm sure I will forget something.
We have a question. Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Shepherd, in a lot of the rural children and families, one of their primary function is simply to facilitate handing out money to various groups. How do you envision the new entity that's going to accomplish the same thing on a local basis? Is it going to be a committee rather than one person? Or could you elaborate at all on what the governor's thinking is there?
Sure. Madam Co-Chair, Co-Chair Monroe, and Representative Garrard, I think the idea is that's one of the key functions that we want to make sure stays in place. It's the community-based leadership. It's the ability to raise and distribute funds. And how that shapes up in a community is, I think, to be defined a little further over the next year. But I would imagine that it remains a community-led process with, one of the components that we've put into the bill about what these new entities would look like is a broad-based community board with the ability to make real decisions and that's truly connected to the community, so that function, if anything, is improved, but it certainly is one that's vital and needs to be maintained.
May I follow?
Yes.
Madam Chair? When I was a county commissioner in Klamath, I fired the director of Commission on Children and Families because there was so much dissension among the providers in that, for whatever reason, partiality, whatever, the funding streams remained always the same, and those that hadn't been included continued to be excluded. And that's still my concern in the new arrangement, is that some kind of more equitable criteria is established.
Co-chairs, Representative Garrard, I think that is an excellent concern to point out, that we want to foster new partnerships and approaches that aren't just based on the way things have always been done, but with the balanced concern of not squeezing people out just for the sake of change. So that's, working out the part of that's what I hope we get with these amendments is to have this a statewide process that really informs criteria in a way that gets to the point that you're making, while also making sure that we don't put ourselves behind anywhere.
Thank you,
Pete. Co-Chair Monroe?
Yeah, Duke, first of all, your bill is where right now?
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Kopp, it is in okay. House Human Services, scheduled for a hearing and work session on Wednesday.
Subsequent to Ways and Means?
Yes, sir.
So it'll likely then come here?
I do not know the subcommittee path.
If it's education, it usually comes here. A couple questions. I'm the Senate representative on the Child Care Commission. which is being abolished by this legislation. They are supportive of what the governor is doing, but some of them are a little concerned because they represent considerable expertise in early childhood and early learning. And they know that one of the things in this bill, one of the things that's anticipated, is an advisory council of some kind. And they wondered if perhaps some of their members with particular expertise might end up on that advisory council.
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, so the Early Learning Council has anticipated those concerns and approached it in two ways. One, there is an advisory committee in statute now that deals with subsidies that is not going away. Two, the Early Learning Council fully anticipates having a subcommittee that focuses on child care and hopefully brings along some of those members as well.
Good.
Any other things that you want to report on, Duke?
Madam Chair, no. No, thank you.
Committee members? Okay. Okay.
Head Start. Some people are very disturbed because they think that somehow Head Start, which has worked well for about 40 years, will get messed up by this new system. I had a gentleman who's one of the heads of Head Start, it's been quoted in newspapers and so on, in my office last week, and he was very, very upset. Can you give some assurances in terms of what happens to what has been a fairly successful program, and that is Oregon Head Start?
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, I can provide a few comments here. One is about context, that Head Start is well-regarded and well-known. The governor proposed an increase to Head Start funding last session. The legislature delivered an increase to Head Start funding last session. Those two things say to me that everybody in this building values Head Start. An important piece of context, though, is we are talking about systems to prepare children at high risk across Oregon for school. That number we estimate is perhaps 108,000, could be more, could be less. There are about 14,000 kids in Head Start, so it is a fraction of the population that we're talking about. Let me say, I think there are certainly reasonable concerns from anybody who's been running a program and has seen other reforms in the past, or that every 2 years the legislature could make changes as well. So I understand the general risk aversion to change. I do think the big picture here is that we are trying to get a place that, frankly, the federal government, with the Head Start Act, is ahead of Oregon. They promoted, and I've handed out to you, the kind of integration and a systems approach to early learning in amendments to the Head Start Act in 2007 that we are just now really being serious about doing. And we are lining up very strictly with the Head Start Act. So I can't assuage concerns that could frankly arise every session about what could happen with budgets. I can just look at the governor's track record, your track record, and the intent here, which is to make sure that we do better by all kids who need better services in Oregon and start to deliver results where the state has not delivered results, and you can see it in those Head Start, the high school graduation rates that came out a couple weeks ago.
And I absolutely agree with that direction, but the concern has been that, you know, while we move to do a better job for all of the children of Oregon, that we not mess up the good service that 14,000 are currently getting.
Yes, sir. The governor shares that commitment.
And I said I would ask, and I did.
Representative Garrard.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to follow up on Senator Monroe's Head Start question. In my area, and we have 345 youngsters in the Head Start program, very successful, there's a lot of concern about the creation, how the hubs will be created, but most importantly, where they will be created. I've got youngsters that are in Lakeview that if the hub were created in Medford, would be required to do a 500-mile round trip in Head Start. That to me is unacceptable, especially over a mountain in the middle of winter. So I think the concern is valid, and in a recent conversation with the governor, he did respond that is a concern, but the hubs are in the planning stage, And where they'll be at this point, nobody really knows, et cetera. Is that where you are on that particular issue?
Co-Chair Monroe, Co-Chair Comp, Representative Gore, there are a couple things here. Yes, they're still more in theory than in practice, and the idea is that we've got a year to really come around and determine what these things would look like. Two, I think there is a misperception about what the function is supposed to be. It really is supposed to be the coordinating to outcomes function, which should be invisible to families and children. It shouldn't change and will not change where a child receives services. The hub isn't a direct service provider. It is, I mean, if you step back maybe 20 years and many of the evolutions of the commission system, a lot of what the commission system could have been and hasn't worked out necessarily in terms of convening towards outcomes is something that we want to get out of this new system, but we want to do it more cheaply and more consistently. And so that this isn't about setting up new direct services that would compete or change where children receive services. That this should be about connecting up what we have in communities now and getting better outcomes.
I appreciate that response.
Thank you. Well, with the committee's thank you, Mr. Shepherd. Appreciate it. With the committee's permission, what I would like to suggest that since Mr. Nesbitt is occupied for at least another half an hour, that we just have him speak when the bill reaches us and communicate with us in between it as needed, but that we move for adjournment today and say our appreciation for Mr. Shepherd being here, and yet we'll do the report for Mr. Nesbitt in the future. Any concerns, sir?
Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's our schedule? Is it tomorrow or Wednesday we meet next?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, you meet on Mondays and Wednesdays from 1 to 2:30.
Wednesday, okay.
This Wednesday you have scheduled the teacher standards and practice. This is federal fund limitation request, and also a report in from the health licensing agency, a follow-up from work that you did this past session.
And my question would be, would that leave enough time for Mr. Nesbitt to give us his presentation?
Mr. Chair, I believe it would be enough time. I don't know that it fits in with his calendar. We'd have to check.
Okay, why don't we ask him?
Okay.
That would be my recommendation, if he is available.
Okay. With that, I'm going to close the informational hearing on the Oregon Education Investment Board and Early Learning Council, and also adjourn.
Thank you very much.